1-0. That's lined into center field. That's a base hit. On his way to third is Valbuena. He's around third and coming home. Throw to the plate by Burns. Not nearly in time. First RBI of the season for Danny Wirth. And the Astros go up 7-4.
Welcome to another Astros podcast.
Solid swing right there from Danny Wirth. Sending that one right back up the middle. That tailing fastball in toward his hands. Still able to get the barrel to it.
Crowd starting to do the wave. And I believe counterclockwise is unlucky. I wish they turned it around. Now timeout is called.
Counterclockwise, not the way to go with the wave?
I don't think so.
Only if you're in the southern hemisphere, right?
That's right. They should know that.
Here's the 1-0. And Davis drills this deep to left center field. That one's headed for the gap. And it will hit off the fence in front of the A's bullpen. Both Ladendorf and Lowry will score. Chris Davis, a go-ahead two-run double. And the A's lead it 8-7.
Boy, what a swing. 96-mile-per-hour fastball that Chris Davis put on that. And the Astros are shocked, giving up four runs here in the top of the ninth and coughing up this lead.
Correa, the tying run at first. Altuve at third. First pitch. And Valbuena drills it. Deep right field. Reddick will watch that one go. A walk-off. Three-run home run for Luis Valbuena. And the Astros win it in the ninth. 10-9.
He knew it as soon as he hit it. And now he's getting a shower at the plate, and the Astros win a huge game against the A's.
Welcome back, Robert Ford, joined by Astros pitching coach Brent Strom. And, you know, you look at this Astros team, got off to the slow start this year, had the rough April. And when you look at the way things have turned around, the starting rotation has certainly been a big part of it. And when you have your starters going deeper into games on a more consistent basis, that just makes all the pitching better, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, last year we were second in the American League, at least, I think, in innings pitched by our starters.
Yeah.
I don't think we're at that level this year. I think we've had a little drop-off in total innings pitched. That puts a huge burden on the bullpen. I think we've been wise all year to have the 13 pitchers. I think each guy's contributed a great deal. You know, it's tough on a guy like Scott Feldman, who is a quality guy. He's having a great year. But in talking with AJ, we always have to keep that one guy back for extra inning games. We seem to play a lot of those. Long relief, things like that. So, but the starters have been doing a decent job. I think there's room for improvement, and I think we're going to see that the second half of the season.
Now, Colin McHugh pitched yesterday, left with a chance to win that ball game, although he ultimately got a no decision. But, you know, talking with A.J. Hinch about him yesterday, he was talking about that cut fastball that he throws and how it took away from his four-seam fastball a little bit. But now it seems like he's starting to throw that four-seamer quite a bit. It seems like you see that a lot with pitchers where they start to throw that cutter more, maybe lose a little bit of a feel for that four-seamer.
Well, you know, it's a constant adjustment as you're going through. They go through peaks and valleys of how they feel about their stuff, whether it be a curveball or whatever. And in Colin's case, you know, the cutter is a valuable pitch for him. I do recognize the fact and appreciate that you guys recognize the fact he is throwing his fastball more. He's gotten a few more outs with it, and I think if he continues with that, it'll enhance everything, because everything, despite it, all revolves around the fastball. I mean, you watched Rich Hill the other night. I mean, that was a dominating performance, not because of his curveball, but because of his fastball. And so if we can continue making progress with all of our starters that way. You know what's so ironic about it? The guy who throws the slowest, Doug Fister, uses his fastball more than anybody. And he knows what he does with the pitch. That's why he's a veteran and having a good year.
Lance McCullers getting a start today, and you talk about the fastball, and McCullers has that great breaking ball and had a very good start his last time out against Seattle, but the fastball command has always been a bit of an issue for him. At least this year it has been. Have you seen it get better slowly but surely?
Yeah, we're dealing with a young man here who, in my opinion, has the best curveball in baseball. Mm-hmm. I made a statement last year. I thought he was right there with Kimbrel. I think he surpassed Kimber. I think this guy's breaking ball is the best. When he gets fastball command and knows what he's doing with the ball, we're going to have somebody very, very special. I think he uses his fastball to get to get foul balls, to get a strike and everything for the put-away pitch. It's going to be a constant area that we're going to have to improve on, and I see him getting there. You know, you've got to realize how young this young man is, and we're just really happy he's with us.
Dallas Keuchel had a strong outing his last time out, and we've seen him progressively get better and better. What are some of the improvements you've seen in Dallas Keuchel as the season has progressed?
Well, I think he stopped trying to be perfect. I think that helped. I think he realized coming off a year he had last year. Trying to repeat what he did last year was virtually impossible. When he finally recognized that fact and started to get better timing with his deliveries, particularly in the stretch, we started to see more quality strikes, not running out of the strike zone. The league adjusted to Dallas, and now Dallas has readjusted back, and I think he's going to have a really good second half. And if I had to win a game, he's still my guy, you know. So Dallas will be fine. I think you'll see some vintage Keuchel outings in the next couple of months.
Brent Strom, Astros pitching coach, always good to see you. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Back with more of Astro Launch right after this.
The following minute of Astros history featuring Larry Durker is brought to you by Minute Maid. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out. Here's Dirk.
On this day in 1968, the fabulous Astrodome took the national stage as the All-Star Game was played in Houston for the first time. Willie Mays singled in the first inning off Louis Tiant and started dancing off first. Tiant kept throwing over to Harmon Killebrew to keep him close. Finally, a throw got away from the twin slugger and Mays advanced to second. He eventually scored on a double play grounder, and that was the only run of the game as the National League won 1-0. 1968 was the year of the pitcher, and the Dome was a pitcher's ballpark. It added up, or down, depending on your perspective. Don Drysdale started and pitched three innings for the win. The National League pitchers struck out 11 batters, and the junior circuit hurlers fanned 9.
Thanks, Dirk. Minute Maid believes that whether it's families or juice, when you put good in, you get good out. That's why you can count on Minute Maid to deliver delicious, refreshing goodness in every sip. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out.
Welcome back to Astro Launch, everybody. This is Steve Sparks, and I'm with tonight's pitcher, Lance McCullers. And Lance, a brilliant game, your last game out. You had to be really happy about the way everything's shaping up, especially your curveball.
Yeah, I mean, everything's kind of coming along. You know, we're getting to that point now. I'm getting about 10 games deep in my season, and I'm just starting to feel a lot more comfortable out there on the hill. So I look forward to, I got to continue to make adjustments in between starts. But for me, the most part is continue to be or try to be consistent for the team and get Ws.
Talking about adjustments, you talked about a little bit mechanically, just getting back to the same feel you had last year.
Yeah, I started to come back. I mean, like I said, I'm getting more comfortable on the hill again. I'm starting to not think too much about my arm action or think too much about how I'm feeling when I go out there, which is good. I mean, that means that I'm where I need to be. So I'm happy with the way I've been trending along.
Lance, you started doing some stuff in the community last year, and in particular in the offseason, you started picking up a cause for some canines. Can you talk about the charity you're working with?
Yeah, I work with Houston's Pet Alive right now. They're a no-kill foundation here based out of Houston. They help the shelters get dogs adopted. Soon I'm going to be announcing that we'll be teaming up with an organization called Athletes Plus Causes. It's a company that helps you plan events, get a website out there, get your foundation kind of rolling to raise money for whatever passions you have, which for me is obviously animals, and just help you, set up things like this offseason. I'm planning on doing, one or two free kids camps for kids in Houston with setting up the Houston Astros Foundation, that kind of stuff. So I'm just looking forward, getting the community a little bit more as I've been living here more this offseason. And that's a passion of mine, so I'm glad I can help out where I can.
Where did the passion for the animals come in? Have you had pets your whole life?
Yeah, I grew up with a black lab. She was a rescue. And I just had a connection with really dogs ever since.
Yeah.
There was a cat that was outside. There was a little baby kitten after my last two starts ago that was outside of Minute Maid that someone saved and gave to me after the game.
Really?
Yeah, I took him home for the night and fed him and everything, and then took him to the vet and gave him to Houston's Pet Alive, and they're going to make sure he gets a great forever home. So I'm an animal lover, and that's a passion of mine. I also want to get kids involved in baseball, those who maybe don't have the means to do so. I think it's important that kids be able to find their passion wherever that lies.
When you're talking about camps for those kids, where's that going to take place? Do you know yet?
No, we're not sure. I'm hoping, maybe we can try to do something here at Minute Maid. I want to do it through the Houston Astros Foundation. There's been preliminary talks, nothing too serious, but it's definitely something I want to do. If I have to rent out a baseball park for the day, a local park for the day, or whatever it is, that's fine too. I mean, I'm just looking forward to. I found baseball a love of mine early on, and I feel like it's helped me in many aspects of my life. Not just because I play professional baseball. I have friends who played baseball their whole life and now have gone going on to great to great things, whether it's, you know, Georgetown Law, or, you know, they went to Harvard and now they're, you know, working in financial industry. And I think baseball and sports helped them with that. So I want kids, you know, find that same help, you know, through sports.
Last thing, Lance, you're pitching today against the Oakland A's, and after this game, you get a chance to kind of exhale and not think about baseball for a few days. Do you find yourself watching the All-Star game, or you just like to relax and get away so you can come back more fresh?
Last year I watched it. I watched Dallas pitch, and I watched Altuve play. They were both starters. Dallas started the game. Altuve was starting in second. So I'm sure I'll watch. I'll watch Altuve play again, and Harris can be coming to the game. Hopefully Springer and. But I like to, you know, kind of relax, hang out with my friends, you know, see my wife, and just try to be normal for a couple of days.
There you go, Lance McCullers. Good luck today, and thanks for catching up.
Yeah, guys.
Back with more Astro Launch right after this.
Robert Ford, Steve Sparks on your radio, the Houston Astros Radio Network.
Braves doubling up the White Sox 8-4. They're in the fifth inning in Chicago. Chris Sale starting that game for Chicago and getting roughed up. Freddie Freeman, Tyler Flowers, and Nick Markakis have all homered in that ball game.
White Sox turned another triple play. First team in the majors to turn three triple plays in a season since this 1979.
Well, apparently not enough for Chris Sale on this night. 1-1. Grounded foul up the first baseline and in and out of the Astros dugout.
They had one against Houston. Remember that?
They did. They had one against the Astros in Chicago.
Yep.
That was hit into by George Springer around the horn. 5-4-3 double play. Last guy you'd expect, or triple play. Last guy you'd expect to hit into that sort of triple play. Then they had one against the Rangers that was helped by some base running gaffes by the Rangers.
Remember that?
That was a crazy one.
1979, both the A's and the Boston Red Sox turned three triple plays.
That was the year of the triple play, apparently.
Yep.
79.
Also the year you were born.
No coincidence. 1-2 is high, 2-2.
I consider that a triple play.
Visit Astros.com/radio to hear all your favorite players, up-to-date interviews, highlights, and more. Get connected with your Astros at Astros.com/radio.